You are listening to The Pulse, Rod Murray's e-learning tech podcast, number 120.
Hello, this is Rod Murray. Glad to be back. That was a clip from Concerto No. 1 in D Major by Vivaldi. And because I'm working on this podcast on the very first day of spring, I thought the spring concerto would be very appropriate. I'll be playing the first movement of the concerto at the end of my podcast. I hope you enjoy it. This podcast is sponsored by Inside Higher Ed, the online source for news, opinion, and jobs for all of higher education. As always, I post the links to all of the resources we discuss on my show notes at www.rodspulsepodcast.com. I also invite you to follow me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is rodspods. Well, let's move on to my main topic today. I interviewed Charlie Miller, who's a founder and the head of product at TouchCast. TouchCast is a new startup out of a company in New York that is reinventing video content creation using touch via the iPad. Of course, they also have a Windows app and a Mac app is coming soon. So what is TouchCast, you say? Well, this is one of those things that you actually have to see to believe. I've seen a lot of educational applications, but this one really is unique. I don't think there's a competitor out there. It really gives a whole new flavor to how you might do video. Imagine creating a video with your iPad. It supports a green screen. It supports teleprompters. And not only that, but it uses something called V-apps or video apps. So when the recipient plays a TouchCast, you see what looks like a normal video, but there are different little apps pop up on the screen, and they are live apps. So it really gives a new dimension to video. You can touch on one of the apps and be taken to a website, or you can fill out a survey, or just look at a document, move things around on the screen, dismiss them. So it really turns what could be a pretty static-looking video into a very engaging video application. So without further ado, here's my interview with Charlie Miller. Charlie, thanks so much for talking to me today about TouchCast.
Thank you for having me to the show.
I was wondering if you could, before we get into the details of what TouchCast really is, I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about, you know, the formation of the company. How did it all come about?
About 2 years ago, my partner, Ido Segal, had this idea and kind of quickly prototyped it with his team here at Bemuse. Bemuse is the company TouchCast is growing out of, where we're sort of a studio model where we rapidly prototype ideas. And when we have a good idea, we go out to partner and bring a product to market. And when we have a great idea, we'll turn that into a company all on its own and build the team. And that's what TouchCast is. We've been going at it for about 2 years. We formally launched our first software product 9 months ago. And we're a team of about 20 people around the world.
I took a brief look at TouchCast. I was really intrigued with some of the capability. And rather than me explain it, why don't you explain what TouchCast is all about?
Well, if there's ever a product you have to see to believe it, TouchCast might be it. Basically, what we are is an iPad app and a PC app, and a very soon to be Mac and browser-based app, where anyone can use real-time video compositing to create broadcast-like video that's interactive. And so what that means is you make a video, and while you're recording it, whether it's you're using a camera or you're importing video, you can throw graphics onto the screen. And many times you can use HTML-based graphics. And they can be as interactive as anything else you've seen along the web. So it could be a whole website that you put inside the video. It could be a Twitter search. It could be a Google map. It could be a poll or a question for a viewer to answer. And all this HTML is just as interactive for the author of the video as it is for the viewer of the video. The way we like to explain it to people is basically this is taking the beauty of television and merging it with the interactivity that we love from the web.
I think you hit the nail on the head when you said you really have to see it to believe it, because when you explain to somebody, it's sort of like watching a YouTube video, except guess what? It's actually interactive. And if you're showing me a little, I think you call it a VApp of a website, it's actually a live website. Is that right?
That's right. If I was talking about a New York Times article in my video, I could literally have that article hovering next to my head, superimposed in the video. And we've seen this in the news all the time, right? But you've never been able to sort of click on those or access that information. And with Touchcast, when you're watching that sort of YouTube-like video that's either embedded in a web page or running in an app, that web page is totally interactive. You can open it up, you can read it, you can share it while the video is still playing, you can pause the video. And it's really turning video into something new, something that's a two-way conversation, which is really what the internet's been about since its birth, is really opening up these engagement models where the creators and the consumers are able to go back and forth and develop communities. And video's always still been a static one-way avenue up until now, and so at Touchcast we're really trying to change that so it embraces the beauty that we've seen on the internet for so long.
Well, you know, my mind started running with, you know, what we might be able to use this for. As you know, I work for a university here, and we often do screencasts, we call them, you know, to demonstrate software. You know, right. We do a lot of training for faculty and students, and so I can imagine how I could capture a screencast, but then supplement it with putting up one of these, do you call it a VAP or a VApp of a web page?
That's a good question. We call them both. I call them VAPs, but it's funny. We have so many of our users naturally refer to them as VApps because we capitalize the A that we might have to rebrand it to permanently to VApp. But I call them VApps. We have a whole menu of VApps that anyone can use with our free software, whether it's the PC version or the iPad version, where they can use a lot of the APIs like Google Maps or Twitter to pull up information. But it's also, we have a web browser built in that's just sort of the general web VApp that anyone can do a Google search and find a web page. Maybe it's their blog that they want to pull into their video.
So in speaking of VApps, you have the browser VApp. You've got a YouTube VAP or VApp, I don't know which is quicker to say. And you mentioned Twitter. So that's three. Is there anything else?
Oh, yeah. We've got one of my favorites is the Instagram VAP. So you can authenticate with your Instagram account and you can pull in your images. You can do a search for tags for other people's images. We've got polls. We've got a question. We've got images that maybe are stored locally or videos that are stored locally on your computer or your iPad that you want to bring in. You can import directly from YouTube now. We have video VApps on the PC version. In about a month, we'll have video VApps inside the iPad version. And the sky's really the limit. We have a developer VAP. Actually, anyone can make their own VApps. And if you go to touchcast.com/developer, we show you how to make one. It's basically, if you know how to create HTML for a web page, this is all you're doing to create a VApp. And it can really be any sort of interaction that you want to have inside that video. It's pretty powerful.
Is there any other company that has anything like this at all?
We're the only real-time compositing interactive video company in the world, as far as we know. There's, you know, I think a bunch of companies changing this sort of shoppable video by offering annotations inside of video. So maybe you can click on something to buy, but most of the products out there seem pretty clunky. There's a few people. I mean, YouTube has annotations where, you know, end of your video, you can kind of put up a square as a button that someone can click on to open up another tab in their browser. But you know, I think what's unique about Touchcast is that we're not doing overlays, which is what these other companies do. You actually are putting the interactivity into the video when you're actually baking it. So it's really the content is born to be interactive. And one of the unique things with Touchcast is when you produce your Touchcast and you upload it, you're actually producing an MP4 video file, which is a very standard open form of video now. And that can travel anywhere. You can publish a Touchcast to YouTube or third-party web players. And anyone that integrates with our player code, we have SDKs for you know, iOS and the web players and soon Android. Simple integrations that can turn those players into smart players with TouchCast capabilities. Because again, it's just an MP4 file and that can almost travel anywhere on the internet these days.
Okay, well, that's something I didn't realize. So you're saying that if you're playing it in a typical MP4 player, it'll play like a normal video. But then to get the interactivity, of course, you have to use your player.
Or integrate with our SDK so you can turn your player into a TouchCast-enabled player. Exactly.
It seems like the possibilities are endless for using this as an educational tool, which is, of course, my main interest and my audience's main interest. And so I did note that you have the polling module. One question I have about that is there any way for the results of the poll to be stored in any fashion? I guess because it's all sort of asynchronous, I guess it's sort of out there in the ether and you don't, there's no way to collect that information, my guess is.
Well, that's a really good question. And I think it's more on us developing a few of these VAPs more fully so people realize the possibilities. You know, we're still a small self-funded company, so we can't get to everything that we really want to get to as fast as we can. But this is a great point. So with either the question VAP, where you can have like right or wrong answers that maybe students are answering, or with the polling VAP, where it's collecting votes, and that poll's always updating real time with the latest results. Because those are basically, again, they're basically web pages inside the video, those are communicating with a server somewhere storing that data. In fact, every time you vote in that poll, you'll see, again, you'll see the latest results, and that's coming from that server. So the truth is, if anyone develops their own VAP, they actually collect that data. So any educational organization can build up their whole question module within TouchCast and collect all that data themselves if they wanted to. What we hope to do here in the near future is develop the second generation of our VAPs, and that would include for our sort of pro users, which we hope to launch a subscription model this summer, where for $5, $10 a month, somewhere in that ballpark, you get a whole content management platform that includes this sort of analytic dashboard for all your VApps, so you can actually monitor this data pretty easily.
Yeah, that's right. I should point that out to my audience that this is right now a totally free product, and I guess there's a lot of startup businesses like yours, you know, you put, you know, your product out there for free, and then you build a professional level that would require some sort of subscription. So that certainly makes a lot of sense.
And I think one thing that'll be nice, especially we have so many educators using TouchCast, that everything that's out there today that's already you're using that will always stay free. We're not going to suddenly put up walls or anything like that. But what we just want to do is offer people that are asking for the more advanced features and tools that we're developing in the future, asking them for the money to sort of pay our server costs and whatnot. So I think it'll be a pretty fair offer.
Right. Now, I did take a look at some of your samples you have up on your website. What would you say is one of the more unique or clever uses of TouchCast in an educational setting?
I'll put it this way. Every week I seem to have a new favorite, and it's because, you know, having been working on this product for 2 years, when I see a teacher or even a young student do something that I hadn't imagined, it really makes me excited. Last week I saw a principal, I'll give you the link to this after the show, a principal put up a TouchCast he made with some green screen, because we have green screen functionality built straight in to TouchCast on the iPad app. People are shocked by how well the background removal works on the iPad, but if you have a really well-lit, solid color behind you, you know, green and blues always work pretty well, you can replace that and have a video playing behind you or just a still image behind you. So what Brad did, Brad Gustafson, he's a principal up in Minnesota, K-12, he made a TouchCast where it was a school announcement to the parents, and he was talking about the history of the school. So he started this using the green screen with an image of the schoolhouse from 100 years ago, and he turned on the effect in TouchCast, it was sort of the sepia tone, so it looked very old. And he starts talking to the camera, and he's got an old typewriter in front of him, and he's in costume and everything. It looks great. And then halfway through his video that he's making with his iPad, he turns off the sepia tone, he stands up, whips off the costume, and walks away from the green screen. And you see he's just in his office, and it's obviously modern day, and he's kind of walking the parents through the history and how things have changed and where things are headed. And it was just he made that video in 15 minutes, and it's just so cool to see that use. He's telling a great story, it's totally engaging, and I reached out to him after he made it just to kind of give him a pat on the back, saying, you know, it was so neat to see. such a good use of this thing we've been working hard on.
I think I did see that one, and it's very impressive. And boy, it certainly raises the bar for amateurs like us doing video production. I mean, that's pretty amazing. I must say, this is one of the most amazing products I've seen.
Thank you. And it speaks basically, we have two missions, and we talked a lot about the interactivity, and that's a core component of what TouchCast is. But you know, the other very thing that's important to us is the ability to make it easy for anyone to make compelling video that looks like the video you're used to seeing on TV. And we still have a long ways to go to do everything we want to do within that realm. But we're really trying to democratize video production so people can make more videos more quickly and easier. And I think that's why so many educators have jumped on TouchCast, because we've solved some of their pain points. There's no timeline-based editing or any complicated software that takes months and months to learn. So we're going to keep working on that piece of it for sure.
On the other hand, is there a way to edit one that you've put together?
There's some basic ways to edit. And what we really hope to do is get people to think, wrap their minds around this new workflow of real-time compositing, so that it's more like live television, where you create your rundown before you shoot. And then when you're ready, you basically record your takes, and you can kind of merge those takes into one video, and then you publish it. But we're really trying to get people to step away from thinking everything has to be done in post-production, because that's where the time suck is for video production. And of course, on the iPad, faster iPads, and the PC version of TouchCast, you can import video. So people can still shoot on their DSLRs or their GoPros, whatever they want to use for their video capture. They can edit that in Final Cut or Premiere or After Effects and import into TouchCast to add the interactivity, so that you still have that workflow. And we do have the merge feature, where you sort of can pick different clips of TouchCast and merge them into one. So that's just basically as far as we go right now with editing.
Gotcha. The version that's furthest along, I guess, is the iPad version, and then you do have a PC version?
Yeah, the iPad's about 6 months ahead of the curve in terms of functionality, although PC's caught up quite a bit lately. I would say that two notes. One, that in terms of the iPad stuff, the iPads have jumped already, I think, two models since we had the first prototype. We're out to the nice three models. We started on the iPad 2, and the iPad 2 was pretty slow. And even if you're using that today of TouchCast, you'll notice the frame rate can be a little slow. But now we're all the way out to the iPad Air, which is technically the fifth generation iPad, that it can really perform really well with TouchCast. And in terms of accessories to enhance video production with iPads, we have a whole list of good sound equipment and lighting equipment that's very cheap and affordable on our website at touchcast.com/accessories. And that's a good place to turn to, because truth is, if you just have an iPad that's sort of naked all by itself, it is a little awkward to hold for shooting video or taking pictures. And there are some really nice little things you can get in terms of a microphone, or maybe a good tripod mount for your iPad, or even just a palm grip for it. And all those things make a big difference in terms of turning your iPad into a real video workhorse.
Right. That sounds like the way to go. Well, before we call it a day, are there any other things you would like to mention in terms of new developments, or what's coming down the pike in terms of capabilities or features?
That's a great question, because we should have an app update that's out by the time this podcast goes there. It'll be version 1.08. And I think the piece of that I'm most excited about is we'll be launching an initiative called TouchCast Cloud Collaboration. And the first feature of this cloud collaboration is the ability to share a TouchCast project. What we call a project inside of our app is those rundowns you create of your VAPs, of your graphics, of your teleprompter text. There's a built-in teleprompter. All the things you need to make your video, those will become shareable from iPad to iPad. So, Rodney, you could create a rundown for me, and within seconds, I could be making a video with it right here in my office. I think it's going to be really neat for teachers. They could literally, you get a four-digit code after you upload your project, so you can write that four-digit code on your chalkboard, and then every student in the class could start to use that project as a jumping-off point to create their own video presentations. It's almost like sharing a lesson plan very rapidly. So we're really excited to see how people are going to use that. I think we're big fans of the idea of turning video into something that's collaborative, and this is just the first of many features we hope to roll out over the next few months.
Very good. Well, again, thanks, Charlie, for giving us the quick rundown on TouchCast, and best wishes on continued success.
Rodney, thank you very much for having me on, and I hope we're always looking for feedback here. So whether you or any of your listeners have ideas for us, they can always email us at info@touchcast.com, and our ears are open.
Very good. I hope you were intrigued by this. Again, you really have to see it to believe it. So look at some of the links I have on my show notes. I link directly to a TouchCast which uses green screen. There's also an educator who talks about technology to use in the classroom using TouchCast. And a link to a TouchCast on their new cloud collaboration scheme. So take a look at it and let me know, and let them know what you think. I think you'll be seeing a lot of TouchCast. Stay tuned for the full first movement of the Spring Concerto by Vivaldi. Until next time, have a great week.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to give Rod feedback. You can leave comments on his blog, send email to rod@rodspulsepodcast.com, or leave audio feedback on his comment line at 610-616-2199. The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Murray, and does not represent the official viewpoint of the University of the Sciences or any other institution or company.